the top players and legends to the very best analysts around the world from wherever the beautiful game is played. This is BTP. Now, we're talking football.
Yes, hello, folks. Welcome to Beyond the Page. I'm your host, as always, Phil Brown, joined with my regular co-host, Martin Warwick, and absolutely delighted to be joined here in this beautiful Montage Hotel in Laguna Beach. Frans Hoek, of course, ex-goalkeeper coach, Manchester United. I would read his resume, but I'll be here for about another week. But this guy's worked at all the best football clubs in the world, Bayern Munich, Barcelona, Dutch national team, of course, Ajax, incredible record there. And he's joined to talk to us about the Dutch national team, of course, Manchester United, and some of his other experiences. Frans, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
You've had an astonishing career. What brings you to LA?
Well, I love the most beautiful parts of the world. And in my opinion, I'm already in the United States. I think the first time I came in 1984, actually, which is like, you know, incredibly long ago. I was still playing. I had a playing career then. And from that moment on, I started to discover basically every state of the US. And I was like intrigued because I love the way people are thinking and producing stuff. And especially, of course, the sports culture is completely different than what we are used to in Europe. So in the end, I ended up quite quick already in California. And well, I lived in Barcelona, and I lived actually in a city or in a beach town called Sitges. Mm-hmm. And it reminds me very much about that. It's a fantastic climate, of course. And also the people are like relaxed, but on the other side still willing to reach the best to their concerns. So one of the reasons is that I do a few projects. I do a project up in San Francisco, and I start doing a project with the Orange County Soccer Club.
Frans, let's talk about Dutch football. We won't be too harsh, but what's going on with Dutch football right now? How do we go from World Cup finalists to missing out on two major tournaments in a row? Yeah. Is there a reluctance all of a sudden to veer from the total football? Are drastic changes needed? And where are all the great players that they used to produce?
Well, first of all, I was, of course, part of the national team 2012 till 2014. That means that 2 years I worked full-time for the federation, and I did go to the World Cup. So my view about what was happening in Holland was very clear in these 2 years. To be very honest, the big players that we had before were also at that moment not in the squad. It were big players, but they were already from a generation before that. Robin van Persie, Wesley Sneijder, and of course Arjen Robben. And the rest of the players were coming players, not world recognized. And together, we made, of course, a fantastic team there. Then I left. I left to United 2 years. And the last season, I also left to Galatasaray. So I'm back into the Dutch soccer again. So the only thing that I know at this moment that we didn't qualify for the Euros. And I was part of not qualifying for this World Cup. The not qualifying for this World Cup, of course, is something that is unacceptable for the Dutch football. Reality is that we were not very lucky. In my opinion, we should have at least finished second in our group, which we did, but our goal difference was not good enough. So in the end, I think that you are there where you deserve to be at that moment, and that means we are not good enough. Many changes also in like the top level of the federation, which is never good for the total organization. What we see is, and that are just facts, that we don't have any players except for Arjen Robben, who are playing a main role in one of the big clubs in Europe. All the other players, we have players at like Barcelona, like Jasper Cillessen, the goalkeeper, but he is a backup. We have players in other places and also good teams, but they are not like the players that are the big players in these teams. So that's the reality. The other thing is that many players are leaving Holland very young. And they are promising players that are leaving too young, especially, of course, to England, and then, you know, end up not at the top level, but somewhere in between, which I don't think is good for the Dutch soccer. Well, in general, I think that it's clear that we are not at the level where we were, not at club level, not at the national team level, which means that I think there has to be a big renovation. Renovation in, okay, why were we as big as we were, and how can we get back to that point, and what needs to be done. So reality is that we really have to start from scratch again, try to build on what Holland made big all these years. And I have to be very honest to say that I was on that cloud when Holland started in the 70s to become one of the better teams, started with Ajax and then the national team, till like the World Cup in 2014, because that's still my reference. So I was on that cloud, and I was lucky that all the people did all the work so we could go on that. And at this moment, it's not only the players, it's also the coaches. We have like really one coach at this moment who works at the top level, which is Peter Bosz, who is working at Borussia Dortmund. And a part of that, you know, we have nobody. And before, we had guys like Louis, we had Michels, we had Cruyff, we had Dick Advocaat, we had Guus Hiddink, we had Leo Beenakker. So, a very stable group of coaches who did a great job. So, I think we have to rebuild it from scratch.
Let's talk about your time at Manchester United, of course. Being big United fans, that's of great interest to us. Tell me about your first impressions when you walked through the door at Manchester United. You had a chance to look at the squad. Was that a squad, in your opinion, that was top level?
Well, to go back to that moment, we, of course, signed pretty late for United. We were already in the pre-season of the World Cups, so that meant we didn't have a lot of time for preparation. As you know, like, for example, other coaches have a lot more time to prepare themselves. The thing was, on the moment, of course, we signed for United, we had to evaluate the squad what was there, which happened, of course, and a part of that, we did try to make some adjustments. We did have the feeling when we came in that this was a squad that could, let us say, compete at a high level. In all fairness, what happened, of course, with Moyes, I think he did a fantastic job, and not everybody agrees with that, I think, but what I saw about the players that he had, and in the end where he finished, which of course is not the way United should finish, but given the fact that he took over from Ferguson, what was of course not easy, and in his last year he was also very successful, Ferguson, but the squad later on we saw was not the up-to-date squad what you need to get the big results. So again, Moyes ended seventh, which was at that moment, I think, of course not what United wants and where United should be. We ended up being number fourth. But when we have been a little bit unlucky, we could have been also number seven. With a little bit more luck, we also could have been third or second. So it was not because of that we were so stable, but it was also we were a little bit lucky. The second thing is, the second year, of course, we made it some adjustments. But the way of playing that Louis wants to do, it's similar than the City way at this moment, that takes time. The second year, I think it was not very spectacular to watch. On the other side, we became a little bit more stable in some areas, and as you know, at the end we finished fourth together with City, but with not a good goal difference. They went into the Champions League and we didn't. The feeling was at these moments that we were more stable than the year before, but not at the United level yet. A part of the fact that the FA Cup, watching, you know, in all countries, a cup is not as valuable as the FA Cup in England. That was also amazing to see how that lives with everybody who is there. And in the end, we did win that, but again, that was not a Champions League spot. And basically, I also think that United always should play Champions League.
Let me ask about the expectations from the board. When you came on board with Louis, Were there direct expectations laid out? As in, was it league titles? Was it getting into Europe? Was it player development? What were the actual expectations from the board?
Yeah. Well, if you go to a top club, whether it's Barcelona or it's Bayern Munich or it is United, you know that you have to win titles. To be honest, if you go to Bayern, if you go to Barcelona in Spain, basically there are two top teams always, and then there's always like 2, 3, 4 who are knocking on the door. If you go to Germany, basically it's always Bayern München, and then it's like Borussia Dortmund, who is always like the last years, the big competition, and also now like Leipzig. It's easier in these countries. If you go to England, and to be very honest, if you haven't been in that league, everybody looks upon it from the outside the way they do, but it's the most difficult and competitive league from Europe, without any doubt. Every game is unpredictable. You never know what the score will be, and it doesn't matter if it's the League Cup or whatever they name it now, the FA Cup, or it's the league. You never know, and it repeats itself every time, every season. So when you go to a club as United, of course you need to perform, you need to get in that Champions League, and you need to win titles. So a board doesn't need to explain that. I mean, the finances are there to buy what you want and who you want. Not always, but let us say that's basically the case. So this means you have to deliver with titles, or it has to be very clear that there's a big improvement in the playing style or whatever it is.
You alluded to it right there. On that note, do you think Pep Guardiola was surprised at the level of the Premier League coming in there first year? Do you not think he gave it not so much the respect it deserved, but do you think he was somewhat surprised by the level and the intensity on a week-to-week basis and not just four times a year?
It's difficult for me, of course, to talk about Pep. Mm. He is a former player of mine, known very well. I think at this moment, in my opinion, it's one of the best and maybe the best coach in the world. Based on the way of playing that he chooses is the most difficult way of playing. And a part of that, he was big in Barcelona, big in Bayern, and it seems that Pep is on track now also in the Premier League. So, said that, I think that you have to be in the situation to really be able to judge the situation. To be honest, from the outside, when I was at Ajax, or I was at Barcelona, or I was at Bayern, if we played against English team, it was not always the biggest problem, if you know what I mean. It's strange, but it is like that. So you get a picture that, okay, the English team, the league is, you know, they play a lot of games and the league is not easy. But on the other side, on the European level, of course they had their successes. But also teams are getting out just like that. Also because sometimes they say, okay, we don't think it's important. Whatever cup it is, we focus on like the Premier League. So said that, I think there's, you know, if you see that what Pep did at this moment, changed his team, changed the spots so he can play the way he wants to play, where he is at this moment in October, I think that it took a little bit more time because of the fact that the league is so competitive that he is now there where he would have loved to be last year this time.
You did make some changes. You brought in Angel Di Maria, you brought in Falcao, Daily Blind obviously, Shaw and Herrera were already more or less done before you came there. Were Di Maria, Falcao players that you sat down, discussed, said this is what we need, or were they opportunistic signings? Did the board come to you and say we can sign these two players and this made sense? How did those signings come about and why do you think they didn't work?
No, basically, of course, always the head coach, the manager, is responsible for who you sign or who you not sign, depending also a little bit of the club where you are. That's also an interesting thing. But in this case, yes, we knew, of course, Falcao very well. We also had been playing against him just before the World Cup, so we played against Colombia, a friendly. We know, of course, of how he could play, and of course, normally he is a guarantee for goals. Getting back to that, what we saw was that the league is so competitive that you really have to be fit, 100% fit. And Radamel was not fit yet. You felt he was working very hard, super professional, but the finesses were not yet there because of that he was not 100% fit. And in a league, Premier League, you have to be fit. Angel Di Maria came, of course, big player, fantastic potential, showed it, I think, in the start of the season. I think it was a very unlucky thing that he had the problems privately with, you know, people that broke in his house. And that was something that had in what I experienced. And I of course also spoke with the guys because I spoke Spanish. So I did translate a lot of stuff during the meetings. So I think it had a big impact on him. And as you know, when a player, it doesn't matter how good you are, but when you don't feel comfortable, whatever the situation is, then it's difficult to perform at the absolute top level. So I think if we look at that, then they couldn't bring Falcao because of he was not fit yet. If you saw him afterwards, and if you see him now, you can see that he is back. He is now completely back, and it took some time. It was, of course, also a very heavy injury. If you look at Di Maria, he showed what he could, and I was really, when I saw him first in the practices, I didn't know he was that good, to be honest. I mean, then you practice at top level with good players. I mean, this was amazing for a guy with this physics, basically. So I really can enjoy that, by the way, because you see things in the practices that you, how is this possible? Daly was a signing, which was, of course, not a star signing of what they are used to normally, but I think that Daly was a very important player for the way we played. He was also, we could also put him in different positions, stable player, you know what you get, and he always performs at his highest level. Now, Luke Shaw also came, but you know, he was like the second season, he started like a rocket, very good, and then he got a big injury, which is unfortunately. So, at the end, it's a pity that, you know, the real top players couldn't bring at the moment what they had inside of them because of different reasons.
Luke Shaw looks like he has an uncertain future at Manchester United. Did you see signs of what we see in Luke Shaw now that concerned you at the time? Where maybe the mental application and fitness was an issue? Because I know when Louis first came, Louis wasn't happy with his fitness after the World Cup. Did you see things about Luke Shaw that concerned you when you were there?
I think that Luke was, of course, a very young player. People forget about that. He was a very young player, and he came, of course, from a smaller club, Southampton. And playing at these clubs, it's nice. If you win, everybody is happy. But if you don't win, you know, next game, you have another chance. The whole atmosphere, of course, at a club at United is completely different. So it takes time for some players a little bit longer than what you expect. I have to say that they have all the help that you can imagine to attack whatever problem there is. And also with Luke, and he worked very hard, and we have seen the second season what he is capable of. So I think the moment that you have Luke the way he can be, it's a fantastic player.
Obviously, United, they have a great tradition, great history of bringing through youth players. Was that ever stressed? Were you made to feel aware that you had a responsibility to promote these youths? Was there any pressure to have a youth product in that matchday squad? I think we're going on 3,500 games now, something ridiculous with a youth product in the squad. Was that ever stressed on the staff?
Well, it's of course the history, you know, came because of the class of 92. I think that was, of course, an extremely good group of players who made it till the absolute level and top level worldwide. How many were there? Six or seven or six? If you divide it over 6 years, then you have every year, you have like a top player. And it happened to be everything at once in one group. We are known, and Louis, of course, is also known for giving youth really chances. That means there's always a close contact with the second team, but also like with the under 18 or the under 19. We also watched many games, and also players who deserved it came up to the first team at the moments that it was possible, and they did practice with us. So, to be honest, in that whole situation, if there had been players, and some players made them debut also, that had the level or could get the level, then they always got a chance. And Louis is very known for that. And I think also, I don't know how many, but many players did that. And then you also have to be lucky. Like Rashford came in at a moment that nobody expected it. But to be fair again, also to Louis, you can also mix the team at that moment, because there came an injury of the player on that position, like in the warm-up, pre-game warm-up. And then you can say, okay, what are you doing? Are you going to hustle a little bit and put him here, there, so you can put in somebody who is more experienced? Or no, we do exactly what we have agreed upon. This is the way how we practice. This is the way how we're going to do it. Only instead of player A, it's Rashford who has to do the job. And we knew him, of course. But you never know how somebody will perform at that level. And of course, that was amazing what he did. And there was a breakthrough immediately for him as well. So I think that definitely we always give youth a chance, and definitely when they deserve it. So pressure, of course, everybody that has a club would love it if youth players come in the first team, whether it's Barcelona, whether it's Bayern München, but and also United.
How good can Rashford be? Is he on that level with Kylian Mbappe, Dembele?
Yeah, it's difficult to compare the type of players.
Yeah.
But to be very honest, what we saw, of course, in his first year and now also, you know, in the following years, because it's not easy. Yeah? The first year is basically the most easiest year there is.
Yeah.
And then it gets more difficult because opponents know you. They know how to defend you and all that kind of stuff. Does he have the potential? Yes, he showed it. And, well, the thing in the Premier League, of course, is you have to do it every game, like 50, 60 games a year, which is crazy and which is very difficult. So I think he has the potential. Can he do it? Yes. But future will tell if he makes it.
Francis, Louis said that he felt like he had a noose around his neck from day one. I assume he was relating to the way he was treated by the English media, which wasn't always pleasant. Was that in relation to how he was treated? And was he always supported? Did you get every player you asked for? Were you always supported properly by the football club to get what he needed to bring about what you were saying about the Pep Guardiola style?
I cannot talk for Louis. So, and I will never do that, because you know how it goes. Eh? Also, yeah. When this interview is in California, it's like 2 minutes and it's in the rest of the world. So,
yes,
you know, I can. That's why I don't talk about Pep, about what he experienced. I can say a little bit, you know, around it. And that's the same for Louis. I think these are things that Louis has to speak out or not.
All right. Quick follow-up to that question. You talked about the style of play. There was a story in the English media, and I don't know if this is true or not, but where players were not allowed to shoot with their first touch. They always had to take a touch, then shoot. Was that accurate?
Let's be honest. If the first touch is the best, you do the first touch. If you need two touches, you take two touches. So I've heard and sometimes seen many stories. So to make this clear, this is what happens, and this is realistic. There's a moment that it's a little bit difficult if, you know, people wanted Louis to get fired, yes or no. Anyway, we were at the training ground, you know, we practiced 10:30. We were there always like 8:30, something like that. So I think, you know, there's two entrances.
Mm-hmm.
So we are sitting there, we are discussing what are we going to do with the practice and stuff like that. And at 10 o'clock, something pops up that Van Gaal is not at the training ground, so he probably will be fired. I mean, and we are sitting there and discussing the practice. So the funny thing is, this is maybe the most beautiful example that I can give. And, well, if you... I tell this now because I hope that people realize that it's not always easy for the press, let I say that. When I talk about 20 years ago, they were allowed to go to the practices, they had a different relationship with the players, with the coaches, with everybody. Nowadays, everything is closed. It's very difficult for them to get information. And if they get information, it's almost never straight from the guy who is it about, so it's always from the surroundings. Well, many surroundings have their own opinion. So I learned this already since I played, but it has become worse and worse all the time. So this means 99% of the stories that I've been reading, you can put a question mark, and maybe 90% was not true. You also have to realize, when you have a squad of whatever, 30 players, the first 11 are pretty content that they play, and the rest should not be content, which is good, but you should go out, work your balls off, and try to get in the squad.
Correct.
And of course, you know, the press is smart enough to go to these guys, and then the stories will come. And I always say, this is also an important one, as a club, you are as a family. Things happen. Things happen that are not good, things happen that are that should not go out, never. So I always say, everything what happens in the family stays in the family.
Correct.
And if you do that, but it's impossible in a soccer environment to do that. That's reality.
Fast forward a little bit. Today's Manchester United. Obviously started the season very, very well, on the front foot, attacking, a little bit more attacking than we've seen in 3 or 4 years. And then came the Liverpool game. What did you make, I don't know how much of the game you saw, but what did you make of the tactics in that game? Jose going back to the old Jose a little bit more defensive.
Yeah, well, what I think is that Jose, of course, has been extremely successful in his way of playing. And his way of playing is what he knows, is the way how he teaches, is the way how he selects players. So I think it's not more than logical that he is going back to the way he has been successful. Why? Because in the end, they all will talk about, did he have success, yes or no? So yes, I always look forward to, and I don't see all the games, but some of the games I saw the final against Ajax, for example. Very effective. They did win the prize. The tactics was good in relationship to this team, without any doubt. The only question is, do you want to see United play like this? You know, that's the question. And if everybody is happy with that, then it's not a problem. What I experienced at United is the public is extremely positive and polite even on the pitch. I mean, we played games that were not good. And they hardly, in the stadium, were like booing or negative. That's amazing in my opinion. Because they are public, they pay money, they want to see something. So you can be respectful and show that you're not happy with what you see. That was the beautiful thing in Spain, by the way. So if the people didn't like what they saw, they're having the handkerchiefs.
Yeah.
So it's fantastic. They show that they are not pleased with what you show on the pitch. I think that's with respect. It's not against their own team, but it's like showing, hey, you know, we would like to see something else. Anyway, so that's my only question as being a former United coach. How does the people react on this? I think it's interesting for me to see what he does. Is it my personal way of playing? That's a different one. So there's always a conflict of what you like and what you don't like. And let's be honest, the people that look at City are different people than the people who look at United. And the same in England and the same in Spain. So that's the only question mark. So going back to the style, yes, I think he goes back to the style which makes his team successful and big successes. I also think that United needs it.
We're almost done, Franz. We're so grateful for you being so kind with your time and your excellent answers. I want to ask you about a question. Toni Kroos, did Louis end that deal? Because Toni Kroos has come out and said that he was going to go to United. And, of course, that was under David Moyes. Louis came in. Louis would have known Toni Kroos really well. And was there any other players that Louis targeted that United didn't deliver for him?
You have to ask Louis.
You must know.
Yeah, but I can never speak out of... The situation is clear. I have been Louis's assistant. Uh-huh. So as an assistant, you are never a spokesperson. And I think that's the way how it should be. So the moment these questions are for Louis, I think Louis has to answer them. If the question is for me and I can answer it, I will answer it. But it's really a question for Louis.
Okay. in your opinion... Lastly, we want to talk to you about American football, of course. Martin is co-chair. So I'll go ahead and let you ask that question, Marty.
I just wanted to get your thoughts on the situation here. Obviously, US, a huge disappointment not making the World Cup as well. Several different points to the question. A, who do you think gets the job? B, why are we losing so many players in this country after high school to the professional level? Do you think the college system needs to change here and the academy system?
Basically, you should answer that question.
Yeah.
Because what I do now is, yes, I've been coming here a lot of times, but I have been like doing courses, doing clinics and that kind of stuff. So the interesting thing now is if I can do a little bit more and I can spend a little bit of time, I will go into that situation. Mm-hmm. But to be honest, this situation exists already for a very long time.
Yeah.
Many people that knows the sport also from other countries came here. Until the day of today, it's not really solved. Because what I always say is, I understand there are 40 million registered players. 20 million women, girls, and 20 million men. If you have that amount of players in the numbers, you should be able to have a world-class star. Till today, that didn't happen. So that's strange. Because, you know, also in this area, a lot of South American influence, you have talented players, but still, they don't make the step to the world-class. They do a lot better in, also in European teams, many players are getting a place there, they start to play, so that's going better, but not the world-class players, which is strange, because in Holland we have it, you have it in Germany, you have it in Spain, many, you have it in Italy, basically in all the European countries who play at a certain level, there's always a star or more stars. And here, with this amount of players, it's not. So probably the system is part of that, but you know, if you want to change that system, well, that's not that easy, because you guys know that better than I do.
Yeah.
So I'm curious what I will find, actually.
Well, let's hope that Christian Pulisic, maybe he's the first, maybe he's the next one.
Let's hope.
Boy's doing well.
Yeah, let's hope.
France, been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. We hope to catch up with you again soon. We'll tell Louis that... Tell the way I want to talk to him.
I will. I will.